We turn in the Word of God tonight to 2 Corinthians 3. 2 Corinthians 3. Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or need we, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. And such trust have we through Christ to Godward. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit, for the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded. For until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding, as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Our text tonight is found in verses 2 and 3 of this chapter. 2 and 3. Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. The city of Corinth was a thriving metropolitan center of commerce, the arts, and pagan worship. It was located in Achaia, that is the lower part now of the Grecian peninsula that protrudes into the Mediterranean Sea. It was situated on three natural harbors, two of those harbors coming in from the Aegean Sea on the east and one coming in from the Adriatic Sea on the west side of the city. Because it was a large commercial center, it had attracted many Jews. Paul had gone to the Jewish synagogue there in Corinth to preach, and as usual had met with strong opposition by the majority of the Jews in that synagogue. But Paul found it necessary, therefore, to go out from among that Jewish synagogue and establish his own church there among the Gentiles. Nevertheless, it was a number of Jews from that synagogue, including the chief ruler of the synagogue, Crispus, and his family that came and labored together with the Apostle Paul in the congregation that he established in Corinth. Paul found it necessary to labor in this small church in Corinth for about a year and a half. And during that time, he had developed a deep love and a bond with the saints in that congregation. The church had grown to be a sizable congregation by the time Paul left to continue now his labors on his mission journeys in Asia Minor. After Paul's departure, however, certain men claiming to be sincere followers of Christ entered into this young and tender congregation. Some of these men even came with letters of commendation from other men and perhaps even from other churches. And they began to exercise now their influence in this congregation. Some of them teaching heresy and others teaching an immoral or ungodly life. So the congregation became divided into various groups of people, following faithfully after the Apostle Paul, while others declaring that the Apostle Paul was really a no-count, a man who had set himself up as one who taught the proper gospel, but one who was not truly a teacher of Jesus Christ. They began to exercise their influence there in the congregation. So the Apostle Paul writes a sharp letter to them. He did that in 1 Corinthians, that first letter that he wrote to this congregation. He had been challenged by these men now, who thought really rather highly of themselves. In fact, they called into question whether Paul was really an apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this second letter, Paul will defend that apostolic office. But the verses we have before us actually reveal that there was very little need for the Apostle Paul to defend his office as an apostle. As we will find, Paul makes this important point to the church in the text that we have before us. I do not need any letter of commendation to you or from you, as these other men who have come here and like to present to you. Why not? Why don't I need that letter of commendation? Because you, congregation of Corinth, are my epistle. You are my letter. All can see that you are a public letter verifying the labor that I performed now in your midst, and the love that I, as an apostle, have toward you. You are my letter, Corinth, publicly displayed because the Christ and the salvation that I have taught you is manifest in you as a congregation. And that was true because despite the struggles in the gospel that this congregation had, despite the deficiencies that this church of Jesus Christ had, this church was a letter of Christ. It was the body of God's saints that had been established there in Corinth. And that, after all is said and done, is of utmost importance. So we consider then the words of the Apostle Paul in the passage before us under the theme, you are our letter. You are our letter. In the first place, we're going to consider the letter of Christ. Secondly, the letter that was serviced by Paul. And then finally, a letter that was read by all. You are our letter, the letter of Christ, serviced by Paul, and read by all. There can be no doubt that the words of these verses reveal a deep affection that Paul had for this particular congregation. After all, he had labored there for some time. But for all of that, Paul reveals a beautiful truth concerning this church, this congregation that forms really the foundation for this love that he had for them. Paul says, "You are our epistle, you are our letter, known and read of all men, for as much as you are manifestly declared to be the letter of Christ ministered by us." There's the foundation, of course, upon which Paul can make the claim, "You're my letter." Or to state it perhaps a little bit differently, "You are our letter, known and read by all men, because you are on public display. You, congregation, are on public display as a letter of Christ, serviced by us." The church in Corinth was a letter of Paul because, first of all, it was a letter of Christ. It is that truth that we must understand, first of all, in order to grasp the thought here of the Apostle Paul that he is making in these verses. The church, people of God, the church, is the epistle of Christ. It is a letter that Christ writes. But the church is not merely a letter that is written on paper using the ink of a pen. Now, a few of us, of course, still all own ballpoint pens. And I notice that in catechism you still use those ballpoint pens to take notes. But we now are a generation of people that use computers. And when we write letters, or we write a memo to others, we usually now will use that computer. Not true in Paul's day. They didn't have such devices then. In that day, a person picked up a pen, and he had paper, not paper that was as convenient as our paper is today, and they would take that pen and they would write in a very neat, not sloppy, in a very neat and formal way, the letters that they would write to other people. The epistles of the Apostle Paul that are recorded for you and me in black and white, typewritten form, in our Bibles, were not written by Paul that way. They were written longhand, with pen on paper. So the Apostle Paul emphasizes to the church here something that they knew very well. And he says to them, "Listen, you are the letter of Christ, not written with ink on paper. That's not what I mean." Paul says the church is the letter of Jesus Christ that was written by the Spirit, Spirit of the Lord. What God intends to make known to men who read this letter of the Corinthian church is that the Spirit of the living God was present there among God's people in that church. And all men were able to see that. They could read that when they looked at the church of Corinth. That was evident in the church of Corinth, despite all of her problems. And she had a load of problems. Despite all of her struggles over the matter of faith and unity and walk of life, the Spirit of the living God was in her. The living God. Not the dead and impotent gods of the other Corinthian citizens around them. These people worship the Greek and now Roman gods. Gods who had no life in them. Neither were they capable of giving life to others. Vain, immoral gods of Olympus were powerless. Powerless to create, powerless to sustain the creation, and powerless in their control over men. This was true because these gods of the Greeks and of the Romans did not truly exist. They were the product of overactive, sin-darkened, unbelieving minds. They did not live. And Paul is emphasizing to the church in Corinth, you do live because you serve the living God. The God who gave life to everything in this world. The God who controls everything in this world as the living God, the omnipotent God. He even controlled men and all the devices of man's heart. This is the living God that lives within you. And as a result, He has given you His life. To creation, to man, but God has given to you, members of the Church of Corinth, eternal life. And He does that by means of His Spirit. God's Spirit makes life to abound. We sing of that in the Psalms, don't we? He is the breath of life that flows through this present creation. And He is the life that was now found in the hearts of these Corinthian believers. And that's how this church was, Paul says, a letter or an epistle of Christ. The Spirit dwelt in them. Christ had sent forth that Spirit, and that Spirit now dwelt within the hearts of these members of the church. And when the Spirit, of course, dwelt in them, then He imparted to them the very life of Jesus Christ Himself. All the blessings of salvation that Jesus Christ has earned for His people on the cross, well, Paul says that Spirit now works in your hearts, and all of those blessings have been applied to you, Church of Christ, as saints of God. And that life of the Spirit produced in them something. It produced in these saints good works. Works that flowed out of a true faith in God and in Jesus Christ. Works that stood in accordance with God's commandments, and works that were done to the glory of God. Those are good works. Those good works were present among the saints there in Corinth. And the latter of these is of the essence. Works that were done to the glory of God. That was manifest, he says, to everybody around you. The Spirit lives in you because they see in you the good works that Holy Spirit has produced in you. God is glorified among you. All men knew. All men could read this church and know the Holy Gospel. Furthermore, Paul adds, these saints were Christ's letter, not written in stone, but on the fleshy tables of one's heart. We read of that in verse 3 of our text. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshy tables of the heart. You know, the Church of Jesus Christ in this world is not only a letter, but the Church of Jesus Christ really is a monument. We all know what monuments are. Men will erect big marble or stone monuments in honor of a man or a woman who have done some glorious feat, and that monument stands there through the ages, and others come and are able to read on that monument what great things that person had done. Well, Paul says the church is that kind of a monument. It's a letter that is publicly displayed for everybody now to look upon and to read. But the words that a person reads about the church are not carved in a stone monument, but in the fleshy tables of your heart. That's where the Word of God has been written. Christ has written that Word Himself upon the hearts of His people. These saints had, by God's grace and through the work of Christ in the cross and in His resurrection, come to know God and to know His Word, and His commandments lived within Him. That doesn't mean, of course, that these saints were known as those who merely intellectually were able to argue now with the pagans around them concerning their false religion, and that they were able to defend well the truth of God's Word. That was true. That was true. And we surely can't short that as far as God's saints are concerned. That's how we are a witness to others around us. But the knowledge that these saints had of the Scriptures, that knowledge was actuated, you see, energized. It was activated by hearts in which the Spirit was now present and working. Their hearts that at one time had been darkened to all the things of the kingdom of heaven, so that they could not see them, they could not understand them, they could not know them. Now those hearts had been opened. God had freed them from the bondage of sin that had held them in its sway, and given them hearts that could now understand the things of the kingdom of heaven. The very law of God, He wrote now, not on some monument of the church, but He wrote into the very hearts of God's children there, so that they walked and they talked in the way of God's law, His Word. People could see that. That was the monument that they could see in this church. They could see that Christ had written His life, had written His love in the hearts of the saints there. People that watched the church. And people around us watch the church. They watch us in our lives. They could see in their lives in this great city a monument, a letter that exalted the Christ whom they served. So, that's what Paul is speaking about when he writes here in verse 3, "Ye are manifestly declared to be the letter of Christ." Rather interesting phrase there, manifestly declared. You Corinthian believers are on public display. You are not hidden in some little remote community in the outermost part of the city so that others can't see you. You are a living, you are a thriving congregation right here in the heart of the city of Corinth. You're a light that God has set now upon a hill. And your light is shining forth now in this dark city around you. And others look at you. Oh, they look at you. They look at the lives that you lead in this world. They look at the church as a whole and what you're doing and the life within that church. And they're reading you. They're reading you. And they're reading in you Christ Jesus and Him crucified. I must say, beloved saints, that's quite a glowing description of a church. Especially when that was wrought with all kinds of difficulties and problems and sins. That was really quite a beautiful assessment here that the Apostle Paul gives of that church. Even though there were men in that church that opposed him and opposed the truth of God's Word. But Paul could say this, you see. Not because of who these people were in themselves, but because Christ dwelt there among the saints of that church. And despite the problems that were found there, despite some members of that church who were always rattling the church and causing disruption in the church and division in the church, despite all of that, God had faithful people in that church. And that congregation, for the most part, was made up of faithful saints who believed. And that can be said of every faithful church of Jesus Christ in this world. Made up of sinners, and yet made up of saints who are redeemed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And that can be said of us too. As small as we are as a congregation here in this place, we are read And we are known of all men as the Epistle of Christ. And I can say that of our church as well as any faithful congregation, because Christ has written the church in the, He has written the church with the Spirit of the living God, so that that Spirit dwells, doesn't He, in our midst, dwells in us. And He works in our hearts as members of the Church of Jesus Christ here in this place. Despite our weaknesses, despite our sins, despite the struggles we might have in our own homes and in our own families and in our own individual lives, the Spirit of the living God abides in our midst. And He works in our hearts. He works in you and me the life of Jesus Christ, so that we believe and we confess in that living God. We love Him, don't we? We love the living God. He is our God. We are His people. He has entered into friendship with you and me. And the love of Jesus Christ is in our hearts because Christ Himself dwells within us and works that love within us. And as such, Christ has written, therefore, that life and that love upon the very fleshy tables of each one of us as God's children. We're given to know, we're given to understand the things of the kingdom of heaven. And we're not given over to the darkness of this present world that we have all around us. The church is read by all men. Read by all men, Paul said. Now that does not mean that all men in the world or our country or even the city have seen and even heard of us. It doesn't mean that. And we know that's not true. That wasn't true of the Church of Corinth either, after all. Not everybody in the world knew about the church in Corinth. What is meant here by Paul is that all who have been given to hear us testify of our personal lives in this world. All those who have heard the preaching here on Sunday, or perhaps the witness we leave on the Reformed Witness Hour on the radio, all those who have read our literature or checked us out on the internet, heard our ads on the radio, or heard our teaching in seminars, in lectures, all these men and women know us. They know us. All those who have had contact with us, even in a small and a limited way, have known us and read us because Christ has put you and me as a church here on public display. And we are manifestly declared to be the letter of Christ. That's exhilarating. And it's humbling. What a word of encouragement. And yet how ashamed we can be too when we look at our own failures in that regard. And we know our own failures, don't we? But in that we find the truth of what Paul writes. We are Christ's letter, not our own. We have nothing of which to boast in ourselves as individual saints or even as the Church of Jesus Christ. All our boast is in the living God, in the Spirit, and in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that He performs in the midst of His church. And we've applied that to ourselves now as a congregation, but every congregation, faithful congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, ought to apply that specific word to her own midst. Just as the Word of God was now being written by Paul to this church, to the Corinthian church, we could take it and make it our own. At the same time, we ought not to overlook the full picture now that Paul presents to us in verse 3 of our text. Paul tells the Corinthian believers, you are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us. Our theme tonight is an attempt to capture that main thought of the Apostle Paul in the verses we consider. You are our letter. Yes, you're Christ's letter, but you, Corinth, are our letter. In other words, this church, these believers, were publicly displayed as Christ's letter, ministered by Paul and his helpers, his fellow laborers. That word minister, as our children know from the Bible stories that we have talked about in catechism class, when the angels ministered to the need of Jesus and so on after the temptations, we have learned that that word minister doesn't mean he preached to them. It means that he services the church. Paul and his fellow laborers serviced the church of Corinth. And they did that. They did that by faithful preaching and by teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the midst of the church of Corinth. They serviced the church. And they did so by preaching. After all, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, we learn in Romans 10:17. Christ worked faith in the hearts of these believers there in Corinth by means of the preaching of the gospel that came to them by the mouths of faithful pastors and teachers. You see, Christ indeed dwells in the midst of His church on earth. He does. He does that by His Spirit. He does that by His grace. He does that by His Godhead. He dwells in the midst of His church here below. But Christ is no longer personally with us, is He? Christ isn't here right now in order to preach the Word as He did while He was on earth. He's now in heaven, exalted at God's right hand. So Christ calls, and Christ ordains under shepherds to administer now to His people the gospel. And in this way, pastors and teachers become servants to the church who minister to the needs of God's people. They service the church. So Paul writes, when people read and know you as the letter of Christ, it is always in connection with us who have preached the Word of God to you. You are a church, Paul says to Corinth, by means of my labors among you. When all men read you as the letter of Christ, they cannot help but read about us and the labors that we have expended on your behalf. Paul says we're connected, Corinth. We're connected with one another. It is striking that Paul, in his humility now, does not speak only of himself when addressing the Corinthian believers. He includes the men who labored with him in the gospel there. After all, Silas was there, Timothy was there, Luke was there with him in Corinth when he labored. Titus labored in Corinth for a time. Apollos, the preacher in the early church, labored there early on in Corinth. And Paul emphasizes in including all of these faithful laborers the truth that the church is never built on one man. Corinth was not built on one man, the Apostle Paul. The church itself does not rest on the labors of one man. No one may ever boast of that. No one. No one may say, this church is the result of my labor alone. Neither may members of that church trust only in one man, as if the church and the whole truth rests on that one man. That's not how Christ builds His church. But the point Paul is making to this church is that the imprint of these faithful men who have labored in her midst that imprint was on the church there in Corinth. Now that being said, in a very real way, Paul's imprint was on that church in Corinth. He established it by means of his own preaching. He established it and maintained it for over a year and a half before moving along. And yet, it was his authority and apostleship that were being called into question. That's why he's writing this. His authority as a preacher of the gospel, his authority as an apostle, were being called into question by haughty men who had now entered into the church and began preaching heresy in the church there. These men, they had letters of commendation from others, and they tried to pass themselves off, therefore, as being authoritative and trustworthy. They were attempting to persuade this congregation to follow after what they taught and to recognize them for their knowledge rather than those who had long faithfully labored in the church of Corinth. Paul's answering these men with the words of our text tonight. Paul tells the church, I don't need a letter of commendation. I don't need a letter of commendation for you. I don't need a letter of commendation from you. And I do not need a letter to prove my authority here in your midst. Because you... You are the letter that is written in my heart, Paul says. You know, the Word of God before us tonight, people of God, ought to give reason for pause. Recently, the authority and the faithfulness of devoted ministers of the Church of Jesus Christ, who in their preaching and in their teaching have wrestled with the Scriptures to bring God's people His Word. Lately in our own churches, that's been questioned by some. So that slanderous accusations and name-calling has been leveled against different ministers of the gospel in our churches. And that's a tactic that is being used in order to make God's people begin to doubt the trustworthiness of their own ministers. Whether those ministers are actually competent in what they're doing in bringing the Word of God to God's people. That's a tactic, I say. Because they do that on purpose. In order to sway people to believe in them and their authority in the church. We have something to say, and we're right. And in order to prove that, we're going to cast suspicion on all the others who are preaching faithfully and for years and years in the Church of Jesus Christ. These need to hear what the Apostle Paul said to those who were doing exactly the same thing with him, calling into question his authority as a preacher and as an apostle. Church of Corinth, my imprint is on you. All one has to do is look at you as a letter of Christ, and they will be able to know that I and my helpers pour our undeserved love and labor on you. When you look at you, me. We are inseparably connected with one another. You are what you are because of my labor and the labors of other faithful men with me. But there's more than that I want you to know, saints in Corinth, Paul says. You are a letter that's written in my heart. That is where I have you, church. In my heart. These other men don't have you in their heart. I have you in my heart. I did not pour out my work and my labor in your midst because, well, hey, it's my job. It's the thing that I do. I poured this labor into you because I love my Lord Jesus Christ. And I love the salvation that He has brought to me and that He freely bestows upon all of His people. And for that reason, I love you, in whom Christ has worked by the Spirit of the living God, engraving into your hearts that same Word of God that He has engraved into my heart. I love you. I labor among you because I love the church. And I love my fellow saints. I love you. In your hearts, who love Jesus Christ and the living God, your hearts are bound together with my heart. We have hearts of faith. We are believers together. Christ has given His life for us. So there is this inseparable bond, you see, between the Church of Jesus Christ and those who service or who minister through the preaching of the gospel to that church. You're a perfect reflection of me. I don't need a letter of commendation. The one who has brought Jesus Christ to you and administered to you the gospel. That's all I need. Now, it's not my intention, of course, to center the sermon in the relationship of a pastor and his congregation, especially here in our own midst. And for that reason, I'll be very brief. You are the letter of Christ, people of God. He has written you. And He has put you on display in this city of Pittsburgh. But He does so as you are inseparably tied together with me. The one who ministers to you on behalf of Jesus Christ. Oh, don't forget that there are others involved in the labors that are performed here in Pittsburgh. The church does not rest upon the labors of one man. Who would be such a fool to think so? We have faithful office bearers in the church here. And no man may boast of being a sole laborer in the vineyard of Christ. In fact, others have gone on before me here. No doubt about it. But be that as it may, you are my letter. And you are my letter because you are written in my heart. And you are written in my heart because you stand together with me as saints of God in the gospel. You're the fruit of the spiritual labor that I have spent here for so many years. You are believers who stand side by side with me in the gospel, and you are my love. Paul could say that. I can say that. I think every faithful minister of the gospel who labors in the midst of his own congregation can say that. You're my letter of commendation to the churches. And as I continue to labor among you for a short period of time yet, with my weaknesses and my flaws and even in sin, I pray that I'll be written in your hearts. Christ's letter is my letter. And may all men, may all men who see us as a fellowship of saints gathered together here in our church know and read you and me together as that letter of Jesus Christ. When they read about us, whether that be on the internet, listen to us on the radio, when they read our literature, or they are taught by our own lectures and seminars, when they come to hear, maybe even for a time or two, the preaching of the gospel here, may they know that we are that letter of Jesus Christ. And may they know and read us as a letter written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. And may they know that your hearts and mine are bound together in that love that we share for the gospel of our Savior. May that be seen by those who look upon our individual lives too in this world. Not just the church as a whole, but in our lives. And in that way, may we be a monument here. Little monument that we are, but a monument nonetheless. We do not need a mega church, do we? We do not need a church with this popular religious figure who stands at the head of us. We don't need that. We don't need that kind of fame. We don't need that kind of popularity. We do not have to be famous in all of the earth. Just faithful. That's all. We simply need faithfulness in the truths of God's Word. That's what others must know, and that's what others must read in you and me. May God bless us in that regard, people of God. You are Christ's letter. And you are my letter. Amen. Father in heaven, we are thankful unto Thee that Thou hast given unto us Thy Word, Word that the Apostle Paul could personally use to address the church in Corinth, but a Word that can be used also in the midst of every faithful church that is blessed together with a faithful pastor. We are thankful for Thy church, thankful that Thou hast given unto us ministers of the gospel. And Father, we pray that we might learn more and more to trust also Thy care and the care of our Savior Jesus Christ, that He imparts upon us also by those who faithfully labor in our midst. We thank Thee for office bearers who labor. Thou be near unto them too as they are co-laborers in the gospel here in this place. Wilt Thou continue to bless us as a congregation, and where we fail, forgive us. We are thankful for the blood of Christ. In His name we pray.